This is a download from Nature Publishing Group.
Hello and welcome to this special podcast from Nature on the Eppendorf Young Investigators Award. Every year since 1995, and in partnership with Nature since 1998, Eppendorf has awarded this prize to a young European scientist in recognition of their outstanding research in biomedical science. The 2012 winner was Elizabeth Murchison from the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute in Cambridge. She was awarded the prize for her work on transmissible cancers, and the ceremony took place at the European Molecular Biology Laboratory Advanced Training Centre in Heidelberg. Here's Elizabeth.
Many of us might have heard of some viruses that cause cancer. So, for instance, the human papillomavirus causes cervical cancer. So there are a number of viruses that are associated with cancer and can cause cancer. But my research is on two very unusual cancers which are transmissible between individuals by actual physical transplantation of cancer cells between animals.
So let's touch on one of those examples, and that's the tumours seen in the Tasmanian devil.
Tasmanian devils are the world's largest carnivorous marsupial, and they're found only on the island of Tasmania, just to the south of the mainland of Australia. And they're actually in danger of going extinct within the next 20 to 30 years because of this transmissible cancer that's emerged in their population. This cancer is transmitted from devil to devil by biting, and it causes these horrific facial tumours to grow on the face of affected devils, and it kills them within months.
Tell me about the cancers themselves, because you've sequenced them, right?
Yeah, so this cancer in the Tasmanian devil is, I think, one of the most unique and unusual cancers that we know of, because this is a cancer that first arose in a single Tasmanian devil that lived possibly 15 to 20 years ago. And the cells from this cancer are continuing to survive today by being transplanted between animals. In sequencing the genome of this cancer, we're actually kind of going back in time and sequencing the genome of that animal that first gave rise to the cancer, as well as all the somatic mutations that have occurred in the lineage as it's spread through the devil's population.
When you sequenced it, did it look like a Tasmanian devil genome?
Yeah, so when we sequenced the Tasmanian devil cancer, it was clear that this cancer arose first in a single Tasmanian devil. And by looking at the sex chromosomes, we were able to determine that it first arose in a female animal.
And does it act just like a normal cancer, sort of, you know, hijacking systems of getting its own nutrients and blood supply?
Yeah, so the Tasmanian devil cancer is, we think, originally a Schwann cell tumour. In some ways it looks like a kind of normal cancer, but then when you look at its DNA, it's unrelated to the host that it's living in.
And whilst we're on the topic of the origins, just try and paint a picture for me of how you think this might have happened. How did this cancer jump ship and become this free-living, transmissible entity?
Devils tend to bite each other quite a bit when they're fighting, and particularly during mating season. And it's unfortunate that the devil's cancer arose in the mouth or in the face, and somehow this cancer managed to get transmitted from one animal to the next. We don't really understand how those first few stages occurred. It's possible that the fact that devils are fairly closely related to each other, because they're an inbred population on a small island, may have helped the cancer to escape the immune system during its first few transmissions through the population.
But there's another example of clonally transmissible cancers, and they're by no means inbred, and that's a global range of this canine transmissible venereal tumour. Tell me about that.
It's a cancer which has spread all around the world. It affects dogs almost everywhere. It's sexually transmitted during mating, and it's the oldest somatic cell lineage that we know of from a mammal. It's possibly hundreds or even thousands of years old.
Why don't the animals, like the dogs, reject these cells?
Oh, that's a really good question, and one that we're all very interested in answering. In the case of the dogs, it seems that the dogs have down-regulated the expression of a number of what we call cell surface markers, markers which identify the host origin of the cancer cells. And so in a way, the cancer cells are able to hide because they're no longer expressing these MHC antigens on their cell surface, and so the new host immune system can't really detect them. At the same time, we think that the cancer cells are producing immunosuppressive cytokines, so directly interacting with the host immune system and preventing the cancers from being rejected.
Which leads on to the obvious question. I mean, we're a dog-loving planet. Is there a treatment for these transmissible tumours?
Well, one of the major differences between the Tasmanian devil cancer and the dog cancer is that the dog cancer can be cured with very small doses of vincristine, a chemotherapy. However, the devil cancer, as far as we can tell so far, is not responsive to chemotherapy. And at the moment, the Tasmanian devil population is undergoing a massive decline due to this cancer.
Would you say it was a new sort of kind of life form that you've hit on?
I would say so. I think that transmissible cancers are, in a sense, a new kind of life form. And in fact, somebody has suggested that the dog cancer should be given a new species name because it's not really a dog anymore. It's been separate from its host dog for possibly thousands of years. So these are really kind of, in a way, new types of organisms which are parasites and have the ability to live within their hosts for potentially thousands of years.
And let's go back then to the Tasmanian devils. Whilst these tumours are fascinating, they're really ravaging the population. What's the forecast there?
Well, at the moment, the outlook is very grim for the Tasmanian devils. Their population is declining extremely rapidly in Tasmania. In fact, there's more than 95% of the population has disappeared from some areas. And overall, it's thought that more than 60% of the population has gone due to this disease. And so at the moment, the pressure is on, the clock is ticking to try to develop some kind of intervention that could prevent the devils from succumbing to this tumour. And part of the goals of my work is to try to develop perhaps vaccines or therapies which could assist with saving the devil from extinction from this cancer. But at the same time, there's a lot of very important efforts going on in Tasmania to keep the devils breeding and alive in captivity and physically away from the disease. So it's very important to keep the devils alive so that if the disease really does wipe out the devils in the wild, we'll be able to reintroduce them.
And should humans be worried about transmissible cancers?
Well, there's many, many cases of cancers that have been transmitted between more than one person. Occasionally, when there's organ transplants, the recipient can receive a cancer along with the donated organ. There's also cases of cancers being spread from mother to fetus or fetus to mother. There's placental tumours, which are fetal in origin, which metastasize into the mother. There's even a scary case in the literature of a surgeon who was operating on a cancer patient, and he accidentally cut himself in the hand when he was doing the surgery and accidentally transplanted cancer cells into his body, and they were able to survive. And 5 months later, the surgeon had a tumour on his hand, which is actually from the patient. So there are cases of cancers which have been transmitted between individuals and humans, but in most cases it's just very localised between two people. But I think this shows that there is the possibility that a transmissible cancer could take hold in the human population. So it is something that we should be aware of and should potentially worry about.
And so what's the future for you? Where will you aim your focuses?
Well, at the moment, I'm very interested in developing interventions that could help save the Tasmanian devil. We have some very interesting leads from sequencing the devil cancer's genome for some cancer therapies or vaccine strategies that could help us to help the Tasmanian devil and save them from extinction. In the longer term, I'm interested in sequencing many hundreds of transmissible cancer genomes in order to understand in great detail the evolution of these tumours and how, what kind of selective pressures have operated on them, and how this has perhaps provided them with selective advantages during their passage through their host species.
And so with this award, you know, you've won this prize money, where will you put that? What will you do with that?
Well, I'm hoping with this prize money from the award to use at least some of it to go on expeditions to find transmissible cancers in unlikely parts of the world. So I'd like to return to Tasmania, do some field work over there, but also travel to some interesting parts of the world to work with collaborators to collect dog tumours for sequencing so that we can build up a picture of how this tumour has changed as it spread through the population.
So paint the scene for me when you got the phone call. Did you expect the award, or did it come completely out of the blue?
No, of course, I was very surprised and absolutely delighted and thrilled and extremely honoured to be the recipient of this prestigious European award.
You've published all these great papers and been doing all this research. You must have expected it at some point.
No, not at all. No, I mean, I've been extremely fortunate, I suppose, to have been recognised for my research, which really I started doing out of an interest and concern for the Tasmanian devils, and I'm hoping that the award and the recognition for this award might help with the plight of the Tasmanian devils and perhaps help save them before it's too late.
Elizabeth Murchison there. I next spoke with Reinhard Jahn, the chairman of the jury who chose the winner. I started off by asking Jahn about the level of the applicants for this year's prize.
It was actually quite a stiff competition. We had 70 applications, of which I would say about a little more than a dozen were very highly qualified people. And then, obviously, as closer you come to the top, it's more difficult it becomes to make a final decision.
But you did make a final decision.
Yes. I have to say that all the finalists had very strong publication records. But in her case, what struck us was, number one, that this is really quite a unique topic she was addressing. And the second point is that it was really driven by herself, and this is what really, I have to say, impressed us very much.
And was it that sort of independent style that impressed you the most, or do you think there's real-world applications of her research?
Well, it's, as very often in basic science, it's hard to say, but the fact that we have now a second case of a cancer that is spreading by direct transfer of cells, it's clearly a very unusual and neglected mechanism of transfer. There are a lot of questions associated with this. For instance, how these cells which are transferred from one animal to the other one escape the immune system. This is something which is completely enigmatic at this point. So I think it is really a new field where the potential is quite high, but evidently one can't predict it right now.
And of course, she's very young at the moment. What do you expect to see from someone like Elizabeth in the next 10 years?
Well, we hope, obviously, that she will further develop her research, that she will become more prominent, that the quality will remain as high as it is right now. So I hopefully will see her as a leader in the field in a few years.
And if you had a message for the young scientists who are hearing this podcast, what would your advice be?
I think the message is to everyone who might consider applying for the prize, don't be shy. Send in your records and your application. And I can tell you that the jury is completely impartial. We really try to select the very best. We don't care about the field of science. We don't really care much about, you know, application or so on. I mean, we are really interested in the best quality and the most interesting innovative science.
And why would someone want to win this award?
Well, an award is a recognition for your work, and it is certainly a booster for the career. I mean, everyone who has won it before has confirmed this. The award is very highly regarded in the community by now, and I think insofar it is certainly an attractive goal for a young scientist who has done good work.
Reinhard Jahn there. And finally, I asked Dirk Ehlers, the new CEO of the Eppendorf Group, what this award means to them.
It is important because we can ultimately support on what we strongly believe in. It's our belief in the importance of science, in the importance of young investigators who have a career in front of them that can help ultimately improve the human living conditions. It gives us that kind of visibility with our general company mission.
And you think that those criteria were achieved this year again?
Definitely. I mean, we have seen a fantastic presentation by this year's award winner, Elizabeth Murchison, on how close such originally fundamental research driven by curiosity of a researcher, how relevant it can become for real research in understanding important diseases and the risks that are out there. So we believe it's a great addition to our prior year's award winners. We sense today that there is already sort of a team building. The group of former award winners talk to each other, their mutual invitations. It is a great achievement to have such a network.
And you're looking forward to next year?
Definitely, we will continue this award jointly with Nature. There is great value. I think also people beyond the award winners as such the two companies, Nature and Eppendorf, that there is value in creating that kind of platform for exchange.
And that's all from this special podcast from Nature on the Eppendorf Young Investigators Award. I'm Jeff Marsh.
The Eppendorf Award for Young European Investigators is presented to young scientists for outstanding achievements in the field of biomedical research. For more information, please go to eppendorf.com/award.
This is a download from Nature Publishing Group.